Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had one post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post described a study where the authors found that among adolescent ice hockey players, early pubertal stage is associated with longer concussion recovery in males. Young players should be discouraged from playing up. This week, we invited Dr. Nicole Gaetano from Westchester University of Pennsylvania, who's a regular contributor on sportsmedres.org, to come and discuss an article that we had up last week.
Welcome, Nicole. I'd like to talk to you briefly this week about Lindsay DiStefano's paper on injury prevention programs on landing mechanics over time. I was wondering, what caught your eye about this study? Like, why did you want to write this up?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Jeff. What really caught my interest about this study is how a focused six-week intervention program had lasting effect. And in those 6 weeks, they're only performing the exercises sometimes three times a week. And that those changes from that intervention program can last as long as 6 months, I think it is really big for the prevention programs and the implementation of them.
So with that in mind, you know, if it lasts 6 weeks and you start it in your preseason, then the person's covered essentially for the duration of their season, theoretically. Well, do you think that this has implications for the athlete who, especially at high school, where they play a fall sport, they do their injury prevention program, and then in the winter or spring, they transition to another sport that might not be doing an injury prevention program? Do you feel like this is giving another reason for coaches to be encouraging other coaches to adopt these programs?
Absolutely. I think with people regressing back to kind of their old habits, we really need to make sure that they kind of have these refresher events where if this athlete that you're speaking about participated in the fall needs to kind of revisit it when they're in a spring sport in order to have those lasting effects, because you don't want them to get injured playing that sport since they're kind of going to go back to their old bad habits.
Great. So you've been using injury prevention programs with your basketball teams, correct?
Yes, I have been.
So how would you use the information from this study to change how you plan on moving forward from this? Or does it offer you any information that you could potentially take to your coaches to encourage them to do certain things?
I think so. I mean, the interesting thing is the two teams I work with have integrated the injury prevention programs in slightly different fashions. You know, I have one team that's completely bought in entirely and they perform it, you know, 5 to 6 days a week as their only warm up, where the other team will only perform it 2 to 3 times a week and kind of tweak some things. So what's interesting to me is I think I might be able to approach the coaches to integrate this into their preseason training when they come back on campus. And that way that they don't feel that they have to, quote unquote, waste as much time, but divert their typical warm-ups and things that they're comfortable with. And they could just kind of do probably a mini session, which might help kind of fine tune or tweak the landing patterns and the new neuromuscular patterns that they've learned essentially in the preseason aspect.
Right. So last week I kind of conjectured about the idea that perhaps this could have implications to rehab. And I kind of went out on the edge of what the data is a little bit, but suggested that perhaps if people are returning back to faulty mechanics after 6 or 8 months following an injury prevention program, then perhaps this happens after a rehab program as well. So if you return somebody to play after an ACL injury, you stop their rehabilitation and neuromuscular training, then 6 to 8 months later, they may return back to the faulty mechanics that got them in trouble in the first place and leave them susceptible to their new knee injury. What's your take on that kind of concept?
I couldn't agree with you more on that conjecture. I think that as athletic trainers, I think, and clinicians, we need to really look at this in that, you know, these are lifetime long habits that people are starting to regress back to. So where we've spent some focused time rehabilitating them and trying to neuromuscularly retrain them, you know, the limited numbers of months or interactions that we have can't possibly undo a lifetime of bad habits. So I think it's definitely safe to say that after you've rehabilitated someone, that they could regress back to those bad habits. And I think that kind of gets more to the notion of these follow follow-up appointments. You know, an ACL injury is a lifelong commitment. And even though we've effectively gotten someone back to play, the management of their case shouldn't stop there. I really feel that we should be checking in with them and intervening as appropriate.
Great. Thanks, Nicole.
Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a randomized clinical trial where the authors found that stabilization exercises with manual therapy may be superior to stabilization exercises alone for improving disability, pain intensity at night, cervical rotation motion, and quality of life in patients with mechanical neck pain. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.